feed the 5,000, how are we going to feed that crowd? But we can if God's in it. Turn to your Bible this morning to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I hope we're not ready to get out of here in 10 minutes. They ain't ready. 2 Kings chapter 4. I believe God's got something here for us this morning, the message. I want you to listen. I'd like you to listen. And I pray that I'd be worthy for what the time you're going to give me to preach the Word of God, to stir our hearts, to say we can do something. Pastor asked me to share about our ministry. We've been at it for 33 years, helping churches and missionaries around the world with this area of finances. You know, when you get over there in Japan, and I start naming guys, you know, I'm sure, because we serve a number of those. But our little office in Greenville, South Carolina, we take care of Friday afternoon, it was 520 missionaries in 42 different countries. When a missionary is over in a foreign field, he said, "I need the money to do this." Or one guy calls up and he said, "My son just got involved with a horse, an accident with a horse, and it looks like he's not going to make it. Can you help us get an airplane over here to fly him back to the States?" I don't need to tell you to send a jet over to Mongolia and send a guy back here. It's more like $75,000. But we're out there trying to help them with some of this stuff. I am I'm the treasurer for a group called Wings of Eagles. We have a couple of airplanes. We tried to get new people to go on a mission field. And we'll fly you there. And if I can get you there for free, and if I can get you there with a one-way ticket, even better. But that's our ministry, to help these churches and mission churches so you can get into some of those foreign countries. You don't know the money. You don't know the currency. You don't know the banking system. You know, I've spent 17 tours overseas working with the Army over in Heidelberg, Germany. And I get over there, and I remember the first time I was afraid to even get gas because I didn't speak the language. I just remember holding my hand out and say, when the guy said something, I looked at him. I had, you know, and with an earned doctorate, PhD, and I did my doctorate in economics. And here I'm standing, the guy's talking to me, and I'm just taking a wad of money out of my hand and just let him pick what he wanted. And that's not easy, but when God's in it, after a while, you start to learn the system and how it works, and you start to love the people. And that's what we need people to say. We're going to have a compassion. The Bible says in Jude, "Some have a compassion will make a difference." We need a compassion this morning. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4 and their cry. Verse number 1. "Their cry to a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, 'Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take away him, take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen.' And Elijah said unto her, 'What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house?' And she said, 'Thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil.' Then she said, 'Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full.' So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, 'Bring me yet a vessel.' And he said unto her, 'There is not a vessel more,' and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest.'" May God add his blessings to the word. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be able to share the Word of God. Thank you for these who come to hear the truth. I pray this morning you would glorify thyself and lift thy name up above every name. Help us, Lord, not to set limitations upon you. Help us, Lord, to believe and trust in you, that you can do great things through us if we would just be willing to say, Lord, I'm willing. Pray, Lord, you'd make us all to be willing servants that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In the passage we just read, it was a tough time. You want to know about these times, you can read through it. We're not going to go. But it was a time of great degeneracy and apostasy. This lady wasn't living in the times where everything was just booming and busting. It was a time where people lived in fear. And they lived in a time of degeneracy and apostasy. And I don't need to tell you, it's just like the times we're going through today. It's not popular to be Christian. There was a time in this country where every politician came and spoke to the preacher before they voted on something. Hey, we've lost our moral compass. And this lady, she was living in a time there was no moral compass. Perversion was everywhere. Poverty was everywhere. And friends, when you throw out the moral compass in any culture, you're on a downward spiral of degeneracy. And the only way to control people without a moral compass in their life is to have the hammer and snip and the hammer and sickle. You got to force them to it. There's some tough times coming. I can see it. You got to be blind and not see it. But, you know, what can I say? God's in control. God's in control. It was tough to be a believer during this lady's time. And it's tough to be a believer today in this country. You just walk the halls down here and you'll find out how. Who in the world would come up with gender-neutral restrooms and not wonder what some boys are going to do in some of these restrooms here in California? We're becoming a laughing stock of the world. Yet, when you turn away the moral compass of the people, you go down to degeneracy and apostasy. And apostasy always leads to anarchy. That's why in this country, go try to buy some bullets because people are knowing anarchy is coming. I know I can buy some guns, but I sure can't buy bullets anymore. They told me when I just went to Bass Pro Shop to get a GPS, and they said, the bullets are sold out before they get here. Whew. I'm not suggesting that we go out and join the crowd. I'm just telling you, we were just like this woman was back then. She was living in a time where it was really desperate. And in this case, this woman herself was desperate. And the lessons, there's some lessons in this passage that we need to learn. Regardless of the times we live in, and regardless of the problems we face, there is no problem or no need that God Himself cannot meet if we simply will trust and obey Him. That's it. Just trust and obey. Because God does care. 1 Peter 5:7, God cares for you. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. God does care. You say, well, why didn't God just go out there and judge all those people? Because if He judged all of them, some of us would be getting judged too, probably. Yeah. I get up there and think, you know, I judge all them politicians, but you know, they believe they're doing right. But it doesn't make it right. But it doesn't make it right for us to do nothing about it either. And the answer, by the way, the answer for today's problems are not going to come through Washington. Revival is not coming through the White House. Revival is not coming through the State House here in California. The revival is going to come through the church house and your house and my house. And we need to start right here in the church where we get a vision of the lost people and start giving the gospel out. God does care. This widow woman, she's going through a hard time. You know, if you read this thing here and if you can read it through, and it tells us that, what about her family? The pitiful widow. And the first thing I see about this pitiful widow is her family. Then I see her finances. Then I see her faith. Look at this widow. Here, she's destitute. thy servant, my husband, is dead. Now, where is she at? Now, listen. There cried a certain woman, the wives of the sons of the prophets. Hey, her husband was studying in the preacher school. He's going to be a preacher. He was studying. I mean, she was the wife of the sons of the prophets. And then she says to Elijah, he's probably the president of the seminary, Elijah, my husband's dead. And not only is he dead, and thou knowest thy servant did fear the Lord. Now, I find something here. Her husband, she lost her husband, who was one of Elijah's students. And her husband feared the Lord, because it says here, he feared the Lord, and he had been one of the faithful servants unto the Lord. So here's a godly man. Now, friends, just because you're a godly man doesn't mean that disappointing things won't come to you. Hey, you know, good people get in car wrecks. And bad people drive drunk. So things do happen. She lost her husband. And not only did she lose her husband, but it goes on and says, thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons. Now, when you didn't pay your bill, your kids were taken away as slaves to go work it off. I mean, it's bad enough you losing your husband, but she's about to lose her kids. I don't know about you. I'm having a hard time because my daughter just got engaged on Friday night. And I think, oh, no. I'm down to no more tax deductions. Yeah, tell it like it is, you know. I mean, losing your kids, even if getting them married off, the boys go on, get going. But the girls, there's a special place in Dad's heart. Boy, yeah, they're special. And these girls don't know it until they're long gone, until they have their own kids and they find out what it's like. Yeah. But here, she's about to lose her kids. She's going through a hard time. And you see her family, and her finances. Thy servant, the creditors have come to take unto him my two sons. So you see her, not only her family, but you see her finances. Her husband left her in debt. Now let me just say something to some of the men here. You need to provide for your wife if you were taken home in an accident. That's why I recommend men, if you have a savings set up or you get something, a life insurance that'll at least keep your wife going while you're gone. I'm thinking of a lady right now that lost her husband. If I said her name, you might even know her, because we spent some time in prayer with her. I'm sure you prayed a lot of nights in that prayer band with this lady. She lost her husband, but she's got three kids and no life insurance, and they're living in a trailer in the front yard of their driveway, in the driveway of the mother's house. You know, but that's better than most of the rest of the world anyways. You ought to provide for your family. But he's going off to seminary. You know, I told this, I won't call him a creep anymore, I promise my daughter I wouldn't call him a creep. Anyway, it takes away, who rips this precious girl out of my heart and takes her off to him, he's a creep. But I said, amen. Yeah. I don't see any of the women saying that, but all the men are saying amen. Yeah, and I said, I make sure before you ever even marry that girl, I'm going to check it out. You better have life insurance. You better have a health insurance program. You better have a car. And I don't mean a hoop-de-doop. I mean a... something that runs, and not just a GOP get out and push either. You got to have something that works. And here, because you're not going to leave my daughter deep in debt. But this seminary student here leaves this widow woman in debt, and she's got two kids, and she's about to lose her kids. And notice, when everything was going against her, what does she do? She cries out to the man of God. Thank God there's some godly people out there that when you do get into trouble and you need help, there are someone there you can give a call to. Our ministry takes about 70 calls, and 70 letters a day, and about from January on through the middle of, at the end of April, we take about 40 phone calls a day. We're getting about 70 letters a day for missionaries who are needing help somewhere. And thank God we can do that. I say we can do it. It's me, myself, and I, and my wife. I got two other guys that help me out to help manage some of the money. But there's just it. That's us. And people cry out in faith and said, "Help, help." And this woman, she cries to the man of God. She doesn't turn to drugs. When the bottom is wiped out of the barrel, and you're at the bottom of the barrel and the bottom is even wiped out, it's not the time to turn to alcohol to get some relief. Yeah. It's not the time to turn to drugs. It's not the time to turn to illicit affairs. It's the time to turn to God in prayer. I was telling Pastor this morning, the answer to our nation's problems is not politics, it's prayer. It's not 6 hours of talk radio on a daily, weekly basis. Listen to some people who are totally immoral. It's time to get down on our knees and pray. Shut that stuff off. They're not giving you a solution, but God's got an answer. Notice this, the pitiful woman. Then look at the pot's weakness. Verse number 2. And Elijah said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what is thou in thine house?" And she said, "Thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house but a pot of oil." Notice the weakness this lady has. You can't go out there and change the whole world by yourself. You're too weak to do that. But with God in it, and when God's in it, you can make a whole difference. A little is much when God is in it. She had only what? A pot. You know what that is? That's the leftover bacon grease that you've been saving up to be able to cook something else. I mean, that's the pot she had. And she has a pot of oil. She is double broke, down in the dumps. No money left. But she knew how to turn to God. Friends, when everything's gone to hell in this country, it's time to turn to God. In fact, it's time to turn to God before you get that far along. And so this woman, she's got little or nothing left. Give God what is right, not just what is left, my friends. You do what's right. Give God what is right, not just what's left. Because a little is much when God is in it. And then look at verse number 3. We see the widow. We see the weakness she had. And look, the preparation word, verse 3. Then he said, "Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels. Borrow not a few." I like that part. Borrow not a few. Now that doesn't mean you go out there and put your tithe on your credit card and get it all up the kazoo and then go bankrupt. By the way, I don't think Christians ought to be going out there spending money on a credit card with money they don't have. The credit card was only designed to be used as a substitute for cash you already have, not for cash you're presuming, wrongfully presuming in the future you will get. That's presumptuous sin. You're making promises to people out there you don't even know if you could ever keep. I never use that credit card unless I already got the money sitting in the bank account. I'm not giving the devil's crowd one dime of interest. I'm not getting a, look, I want to be able to say when I die, I spent more money just giving tithes and offerings than I ever spent in mortgage and car interest and credit card interest. God's got enough money to change the world. Some of God's people would just say, "I'm not going to get out there and get in debt." This lady had to do some preparation work. It shows that she trusted. When she went out there and started borrowing, and by the way, she borrowed for something that went up in value, not something that went down in value. When you're out there buying Christmas gifts, you can't take them back and pay the debt. She was able to borrow the vessel, and she was able to give back far more than she was able to borrow. And so she was trusting. She was trusting in God and what the man of God said. We must do our part for God to use us. Don't sit there and say, who, me? You know, Lord, how come? You know, yeah, I said, Lord, here I am. God is looking for not great talent. He's looking for a willing person. Hey, I noticed the questions about his language school, about his language school, and about his language school. It went on and on. You know what? Hey, I got something out of that. You don't have to speak the language. You just have a willing heart. And you'll learn it sooner or later. Yeah. Some people, you know, it just comes a little bit slower than others. But don't worry about how. Settle the question who. And when you settle the question who, God takes care of the how. That works, doesn't it? Yeah. When I settle the question, who wants me to go into this ministry? You don't finish that doctrine area in economics and then say, I'm going to go out and preach on economics for 35 years. Nobody has ever done that. But I settled the question, who? And God took care of the how. Now we see the preparation work. Let's look at verse number 4, the private wonder. The private wonder here. Notice in verse number 4, she went into what? She went in and shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. The closed door suggests the principle of privacy. You can get a lot more done by getting in that prayer closet. 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us right there. I had the crazy notion one time that I was going to run for state office. I really felt like I could get somewhere. I thought maybe I could do something. And, you know, I thought, well, look at all my pedigree. This would surely get me elected. And I met with Governor Palin and Senator Coghill. And she quoted the best she could, 2 Chronicles 7:14. I was smote dead right there. I was standing right there and I said, there's no way running for politics is going to change this nation. But if I get in my prayer closet and shut the door, and if I can get a hold of God, I can change this country. You know, there's only three things you can do when it comes to missions. You can go yourself. You can stay home and pray. And you can stay home and pay for those who are going. Now, if you're not doing one of those three things, you're violating the Great Commission. Let's get home. Those of us who are here, staying here, and don't dig your feet in and say, I'm not going to do this. The more times I go overseas, the more I want to go do something. The more missions conference I go, the more I say, I'm going to do something. And then my wife said, you can't do any more. You're already working 18 hours a day. Yeah. Yeah. You know how that work is. In the ministry, there is no 9-to-5 job. Wow. You ever have those dumb questions like, preacher, what do you do besides work 1 hour on Sundays? Yeah. You can either go yourself. Go play out the role and go be the missionary. Or you can stay here and pray for him. Or you can stay here and pay for him. You got to be doing one of those three, or otherwise you're violating the Great Commission. Here, the private wonder of it all is that she went in there in a closed door, and to be alone with God is the greatest need and the most vital need of every believer today. Just get alone with God and pray. Always give God the glory when God answers the prayer, by the way, because God will answer the prayer. God will answer a prayer. Give God the glory for it. I was showing Pastor the car. I went to rent a car last night, and I thought I was getting a Chevy Aveeno. You know what it is. You know, whatever that is. Yeah, just don't get hit by one of them things. Anyways, I thought I was ordering one of those, the cheapest car, and God said, I got something better. And I'm liking this electric car. It's about a $40,000 car. I never had one of these. You know, God always gives you more than you deserve if you'll trust and obey. Now, sometimes we don't want to trust. We want to mock and make fun of Peter. Was he you know, help Lord, I sink. Well, I don't know if anybody here would step out of the boat and step on the water either. But when God says it, that settles it right there. Let's trust and obey. And we'll see the wonder afterwards. Looking at back, I'm in a ministry that I don't know anybody in the country is doing this. David Gibbs may be close. He's handling constitutional law, and I'm out there handling tax law and security law. And nobody else is doing this. And I wrote to several key people across the country involved in fundamentalism. I asked, is there anybody out there doing it? No, and nobody even, the only one, Dr. Horton was the only one encouraged me. Said, yeah, it needs to be done. But I knew when God's in it, I can go do what God wants me to do. And we didn't worry about the money. You know what it's like? You know what it's like. You get out there and say, Lord, here I am. And Lord, I got a church that's over in Michigan, up in the northern part of Michigan, and I'm living in Miami, Florida. But if you'll get me there, I'm going. I remember getting in the car and going until I ran out of gas. You say that took faith. No, it just took, said, God's real. Amen. And I settled who told me to do that. Amen. I got to Louisville, Kentucky, and I got to know, I knew someone up there, and I said, look, I'm coming there. And they let me stay in Tennessee Temple. Yeah. I remember I left Tennessee Temple and had about $1.39, and that got me to just under a gallon of gas. And as I'm pumping the gas, you ever done this? You only got $1.39, and you went in and you prepaid it. And they look at you like, you're some nut, $1.39. How much gas are you going to get for $1.39? But I gave them $1.39. And I went out there to pump the gas. And I see this big tanker truck comes in. Boy, if that guy could just spill a little bit my side here. Maybe if he pumps it a little too much, it would burp it out of the pump and come back on me, and I could get enough to fill my tank up. And I'm standing there pumping, and I notice, I watch it drive in, and it stopped. And I'm looking somewhere, and right where that guy stopped, there was something green sticking out of his tire. Now, like Paul Harvey would say, for the rest of the story, I said, I'm broke. And I looked at that, and so I went into the restroom after and left my car there, and I watched that guy with that big tanker. Look, I know something green when I see something green, and I know that what it is. It's something sticking out, and it's not one of them phony $20 bill tracks. I just could tell something was there, and it was just a little bit, but I knew it looked the kind of green that I like. And I watched from the restroom. I wasn't going to the restroom. I'm just waiting for that truck to move, make someone else saw what I saw. When he drove by, just went over there and snatched it up. I was afraid to look at it. Put in my car, and I drove out of that parking lot and went down underneath the underpass. And before I got on the highway on the other side, I pulled it out, and there was two $20 bills wrote, snapped together. You know how some guys fold in two and fold in two again? And then stick it in the secret compartment of your wallet. You know how some guys do that? That's what somebody had done and dropped it or something. And I picked that up. Forget getting on the highway. I went on the other side and filled that tank up. Got myself all the way up to Minnesota. I had a diesel Opel. By the way, I still got it. 32 years. The old Opel Cadet. You know, when God's in it, it'll all work out. That's the last point here. Verse 7. It all worked out for this lady. It all worked out. And I like what he said earlier. It worked out super abundantly. Because look at verse number 7. Let's go back to verse number 6. And that Not only was the private wonder, but the provision wanted. Because she didn't borrow a lot, she only borrowed a few, and she could have had a whole lot more. And because she didn't do more, she ran out. Sometimes we sell God short of what God can do, and we're wondering, saying, well, I don't expect God to do this. Hey, the whole you give through is the whole you're going to receive through. Make it a big hole to give. And watch God supply the need. And so, you know, what would happen is her limited preparation limited the miracle. You can have as much of God or as little as God as you're willing to pursue. And if you're willing to trust God, God's willing to pour out His blessings upon you. He's willing to fill the barrel up. The vessels didn't run dry, and eventually the problem was worked out. In verse number 7, it says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. The problem was worked out. God is not limited by what you don't have today. God is limited by what you're willing to believe and trust and sacrifice to Him. If you're willing to believe and trust and sacrifice and give to God and let God use you, God can do more through you than He'll ever give to you. I see in our office every day, I see phone calls coming in and people needing help. I wish, I'm not complaining, I'm blessed way beyond any missionary I know. I just feel like, God, you are giving more through me than you ever give to me. I'm not the expert in all the tax law. I just pretend I know something, that's all. And in the past year, we've had 44 churches that took advantage of the new Health Care Act, and we were able to get some of that money back. I was telling Pastor this morning, I got this new cell phone. I never worked one of these phones. I like the flip phone. You know, I could figure that one out. Flip it out and dial a number. Not the one I got today. But anyways, I was able to help a church, and they got a $30,000 refund. They didn't even know they had it coming. Multiply that by 40-something times this past year. God's given more through us than He's ever given to us. If you'll just willing to say, God, here I am. That 64-year-old lady, Mrs. Sunshine, she didn't die a rich lady monetarily, but she died rich with treasures in heaven. Because she was willing to go, and she took in one homeless little orphan boy, raised him up for God, and then he's gone back after he got a PhD from Bob Jones and went back and started a Bible Institute. It's called what used to be Bob Jones Memorial Bible Institute. And how many people in Taiwan are getting trained at that Bible Institute and going out and starting other churches? She started a flame that no one's going to put out in Taiwan because she was willing. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have a DD. I like when I heard Jack Collins said, I got my BA, I've been born again, I got my MA, I preach the master, and I got my PhD. I preach hellfire and damnation. That's all the degrees you need today. You put some of those together, and you can go over to Taiwan and say, I can pass out tracts. I can win a little boy. There's a lot of homeless people over in Thailand. Kids being sold off as slaves. Go get one of them. Teach them the gospel. Let them go back and win someone else the Lord. Friends, we don't need your excuse this morning. We need you. You can trust God, but can God trust you? Let's borrow it to God. Lord, thank you for this example of a poor widow woman, broke, nothing. But Lord, you worked a miracle, saved the lives of two boys, saved the life of this widow. Lord, we've got a whole generation of people who need Thee. I pray, Lord, You'd help us to do our best to win someone to Christ. Pray, Lord, You'd not just let missions be another week in our life this week, but, Lord, help us to be missionaries right here. Lord, help us to give more. Help us to pray more. Lord, I pray that You might reach out, not just some young little boy's heart or some young lady's heart, but take that man or woman who says, I don't have a whole lot of time. I don't have a whole lot of years left. But Lord, take someone today that could be another Miss Sunshine. Glorify Thyself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel tells you where you came from, why you're here, and where you're going. But you have the opportunity to find out that you can go one day to be with Him because He died for you on the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for us to do this. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. And I've got a couple of questions. And then we're going to have an invitation, and then we'll be dismissed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking about. I want to ask you something, the most important question. If you died right now, where would you go? Are you a child of God? Has there ever been a time that you realized that you were a sinner and Christ was a great Savior? Listen, you can't change your life. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 3, ye must be born again. He didn't say you must turn over a new leaf. He said you must turn to Me. Is there anyone here that say, you know what, I'm not sure if I died right now I'd go to heaven because I'm not sure if I'm a child of God, but I'd like to know. We can't make you do anything, wouldn't want to try, except this. We want you to know that we're concerned about you. Is there anybody here that say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you raise your hand? Preacher, I'm not sure. Pray for me, would you? I'm not going to chase you down. But we've all got a destiny. Well, you don't believe it. You say you don't believe it. Friend, you not believing it isn't going to close the door or put the fire out. Christian, what is it that God is asking you to do? This is a time where we trust Him far beyond what we can see. This is a time when we trust Him like our brothers and sisters in Christ did of old. If the Lord has spoken to you, you need to respond. There in your chair, here at the altar, wherever it be. Lord, I'm trusting You. In faith promise, I'm trusting You with my life. You're talking to me about something You want me to do, be it the mission field, be it giving the gospel to someone, someplace, somewhere, Lord, you're talking to me.